and welcome to the podcast, Biblical Question. We are excited you've taken time out of your day to listen to our podcast. For more information about us, you may visit our website at biblicalquestion.com. We will tell you the web address again at the show's end. We encourage you to open your Bible and follow along as we study the Bible. Now here is your host, Joseph.
Well, hello there, and thank you for downloading our podcast. Certainly honored and blessed that you have done so. May God bless you, and may your desire to learn more about Him be continually blessed, and you can continually grow in His love and knowing His Word. If you have a Bible, I would always encourage you, as I do right now, to open it up to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 8 to 22 today. And we're going to talk about our main calling. And as we continue to learn from this epistle, the first letter of the Apostle Peter, I think through Peter, the power of the Holy Spirit, God speaks to all Christians, including those of us who are listening to the podcast, all those who will follow us by our examples and trying to teach the gospel message. We have the Word of God, which is eternal. It is instructional, it is impacting, and daily life. And we have noted that in spite of troubles here on earth, there's hardships on earth, despite what some so-called evangelical-type preachers on TV would say, life is difficult on earth. And if you're really a Christian obeying and following the gospel message, you're going to have issues as well and struggles. You're going to be persecuted, mocked, made fun of. Your faith could be tested. Despite the health and wealth, prosperity-type gospel message that's preached throughout America, as you know, if you listen to me long enough, I'm just not really swallowing those pills. And so, it does not mean that I am not blessed. It does not mean that God does not take care of me, because I am, and He does. But He also says, look, Jesus Himself says, you know, don't let the day be troubled. Tomorrow's plenty. Don't fear. I have overtaken the world. I mean, here is Jesus persecuted much further than I could probably ever imagine at this moment in life. I hope I really honestly get to that point. But we have listeners around the world who do listen to this podcast. And if they really believe in Jesus, or they're searching for Jesus, they could cost them their lives. And I don't know how many people in the Western world, especially America, really truly grasp that. I mean, I've been overseas in different countries, and persecution is very real. And to say those people are not being blessed or not being obedient is a lie from Joel Osteen. I'll just flat out say it. It's not true. We do have the Word of God. And we have noticed, in spite of troubles and hardships again, Christians are not to be complacent, but really we're to grow in our faith and do good in all areas of our life. So as we continue to learn and be challenged with the Word of God from Peter here, again, open your Bibles and follow along. Note here in verse 11, this is the main call for Christian living. Turn from evil and do good. Then look at verse 12. God's eyes are on the Christian. In other words, God will protect Christians. But also need to understand that God's face on those who do evil. In other words, God will comfort, or not comfort, He will confront evildoers. Everybody, every person who's ever walked on this earth or will walk on this earth will answer to God, to Jesus. Jesus indeed is the ultimate judge. It's a side of Jesus that most people would never hear about. If they do, they turn off the podcast, they tune out the preacher, they get on their phones and start opening up the wrong book. And so, again, evildoers will be punished. And those evildoers can change, they can repent, they can turn to Christ, and they will be forgiven. And then you don't have to fear eternal punishment, but look forward to their reward. So many people throughout history have turned away from their evil ways and deeds and lifestyles to become faithful followers of Christ. And here in chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, I hear things that Christians are to do. We are to be like-minded. Does this mean that we're all going to have the same thoughts? Well, in the original Greek word here, the meaning really is to have the same perspective or to be of the same accord. And what is that perspective or accordance to what? And this is the same as being one in Christ. Christianity is to be one body, but many parts. The head, of course, is Jesus, not somebody else on this planet. Being like-minded means to be, all Christians are to be focused on and follow Christ alone. That's it. Really, that's the bottom line. All Christians working together are to be asking one another, what would Jesus want us to do? Not always big on cliches, but that's really what we should be doing. You know how many church meetings I've sat in? And that is not the atmosphere. Do we really listen to others and try to understand their situations? I mean, we need to be sympathetic as well. We need to try to understand people and their situations. Or we just keep on talking. We don't listen. I know preachers are kind of guilty of just talking. But we need to love one another. And the word here is Philadelphia, which really means brotherly love. There's a deep relationship type love. And this is caring love, which honors family. Be compassionate. The Greek here indicates this, having a tender heart or being merciful. The opposite is what we do not want to do, and that's being cold-hearted and judging unrighteously. I know many people don't believe we're supposed to judge, but Jesus says if you're going to judge, in John chapter 8, judge righteously. In other words, use the Word of God to correctly make your decisions with. Whether we like it or not, we all judge every day. We make judgment calls every day. And when we make those judgment calls, what are we basing that off of? Well, maybe the machine ain't working right, and it's out of oil. Well, you just made a judgment call. Hey, that machine needs some oil in it. The car ran out of gas. Well, you just made a judgment call. The gauge was on empty. I haven't put gas in the car for months. Probably needs gas. So you made a judgment call. You came to a decision. And we're not to repay evil with evil or insult with insult. And this is really, in our world, it's really hard to do. You know how many good Westerns I've watched over the years were really about revenge, getting even, repaying that evil that was done to me or my family, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to get them. Keep the tongue from evil and deceitful speech. That's not really always easy to do when you're surrounded by people that have no vocabulary beyond profanity. But I'm around them, believe me. And, you know, when I hear that kind of talk, I think there's a lack of education there. But there's also a lack of the Spirit of God. And you're telling me you're a Christian and you talk that way? It's really difficult for me to see all of that. Have I ever used profanity? Of course. Not proud of it. Okay. But when I see and catch myself, I stop right there. I stop and change my wording. It means I'm out of control. I've allowed my temper to get a hold of me. So briefly, let's look at the list of things that Christians are to do and make. Let's take some personal notes here. And try to rate yourself from 1 to 5, being 5 being the greatest, 1 the worst. Okay? So how are you doing in these areas that we just talked about? How are we personally doing? Are we being like-minded with other Christians? I mean, and truly trying to truly understand that person and what they're going for or through. You know, Elvis Presley had an old song, "Before you criticize and abuse and judge me, walk a mile in my shoes." And there's a lot of truth in that statement. Until you really put yourself in those positions, how would you really, really, really react? Are we in brotherly love within the congregations that we're in? Are we being compassionate? You know, are we condemn that person to hell and say, well, there's no hope for you. You might as well go live the life that you want because you're going to hell anyway. And I have heard that in congregations, and it just makes me sick. Are we repaying evil with a blessing in what we say? Let me take a moment and rate yourself. In just four verses here, in 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 to 12, Christians are asked to do 7 good things, which are really not easy to do, because even though we are Christians, we are saved from our sin, we as Christians still have to deal with our selfish nature. And let's read these verses. If you have a Bible, please open it up, follow along. This is from the NIV. "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble." There's an old country song, it goes somewhere along the lines, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Verse 9, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing. Because to do this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So first of all, why do we have to do these good things when we are Christians? We've already been forgiven, and we're going to heaven. Why do we have to work and fight against those sinful natures? Well, first of all, I Christians belong to a good God. You've heard me say that previous weeks. God is good. And so God expects his people to be good. How many of you as parents expect your children to obey and follow a good example that you're laying out? The second of all, I think it goes along with really the first thing. Not doing good is evil. There's kind of that sin of abstinence. And when we don't keep our sinful nature in check, we are really allowing the evil one to run our lives and allow him to win. Again, over and over, the third thing here, God tells us that when we do good, there will be a blessing. And we can see that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. What does verse 13 of 1 Peter indicate here? Doing good will be appreciated. I know I always appreciate it when I see it and experience it. And I don't know that it's not only by God's people, but I think that people of the world appreciate goodness. they may not realize deep down what's really going on, maybe. But subconsciously, I think they appreciate people who do good. Doing good, it really has no end. Again, look at verse 15. Doing good gives power to proclaim the truth about Jesus. And many of us as Christians really have no power in telling others about Christ because we choose evil instead of good. And I've watched that many times. I'm sure other people have as well. And again, I get it. Nobody's perfect. I understand that. But it doesn't mean that we have to continue in that walk, in that lifestyle, in that thought process. And verse 16 tells us that doing good will produce a good conscience. And I think that's really important. I think we all need to have a good conscience and a clear conscience before God. And the scripture, Peter himself would say that's part of having a clear conscience before is obeying the gospel and being baptized. And so, what does verses 17 through 22 really indicate? I think doing good follows the steps of the Good Shepherd, Jesus. Again, God is so good that even though he shouldn't have to tell us to do good, he does. I mean, I know my dad, he said, I shouldn't have to tell you to go do those things. You should know those are expected. I remember hearing those words a lot as a child growing up. So how can we really do good? The first step is to remind ourselves. Often, I think we have to remind ourselves a lot. The reason for doing good. There's seven reasons. There's at least seven. And we cannot do good until we have this total commitment of doing so as God has called us. Now, ask yourself and say to yourself, how often do I do good? I would hope that we'd all say, well, I do it good all the time. I'm going to do good for God all the time. Again, here's from verse 10, love, right? Love life and see good in life. In other words, give thanks to God always. Do we truly have thankful hearts? You know, when we think we deserve more, we need better homes, better food, fancier clothes. You know, are we really just satisfied with what God has provided? I mean, I'm very happy with my simple life. I really am. I'm at peace with it. God has provided it, and I'm blessed. Do we truly have thankful hearts? I mean, do we pray that God would give us a heart like his? That would be overflowing of joy and thanksgiving for everything that we have, especially our salvation. I think we all need to affirm that we personally belong to God. That we really are God's property. We're made in his image and not the devil's, because you know, Jesus is in your life, and he is everything in your life. Do you really truly believe that Jesus, as the only, that there's no dependence on anything, including myself, that everything comes from Jesus in my life? Do you truly believe that Jesus is who he says that he is? Or do you believe what the media tells you, what the world tells you? There's more than one way to heaven. There's more than one truth. No, actually, there's only one truth. I don't care if it's religion, Christianity, work, school, play, whatever. There's really only one truth. And on a routine basis, do you ask yourself this question: am I doing good for God in every situation that I'm in? Then simply just do the good thing. And sometimes that's easier said than done. You've heard me say over and over again over the years, being a Christian takes grit, it takes sand, it takes courage. This is not a child's game. It is not a form of entertainment. It's not the social club. Being a Christian is serious business. It is a lifestyle. It is a desire. And so many, I think, it's just an afterthought. And I think that's what Peter is really trying to stress to all of us. Live, talk, act, smell, look like Jesus. Well, I certainly hope. I know these last few weeks we've been doing Peter and the podcast are, you know, a little shorter than they were for some time ago. But I'm really hoping that you are really enjoying this, that you're really getting some food for thought on your spiritual walk and your knowledge of God's Word. You know how many times over the years I've said I really love word studies. I love taking verse by verse and studying it out and hashing through it. And I'm just really giving you an overview of this book, this letter of 1 Peter. I think if you really took the time, honestly, to study it for yourself, do some word searches, do the Greek studies, do the cross-referencing, that you would see how deep this book really truly is. And how much Peter really loved God. And here's a man that's recorded as cursing and trying to prevent Jesus from going to the cross and denying who Jesus was 3 times, ends up being a pillar in the New Testament church, as a leader in the church in Jerusalem. A man who's really a mature man. That was drunk, cussed, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so, if God can fix his life, his heart, his attitude, his lifestyle, he can do it for you and me. Well, again, I hope and pray that you'll tune in again next week as we continue the study of Peter. I hope that God will bless you in your search for him, if you are searching, that he would bless you with a deeper understanding, if that's what you're trying to build on your foundation. I pray that you would really, truly find a congregation, a group of people who are really wanting to know who God is, how to worship him and serve him. They're not hung up on just one chapter, one verse, or their favorite topic. But they're really wanting to know the entire Word of God, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to the last word in Revelation, which is Amen. I hope that you will do so, that you will, whatever it is that you need to work through and struggle, that you would ask God to help you, that you would continue to pray and read the Word. Again, thank you for listening. May God bless you, and may He always have the glory.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Be sure to hit the like button and follow us on your podcasting app. Please check out our website at biblicalquestion.com. All one word, all lowercase. In addition, we have a prayer request page, a way of contacting us, a statement of faith, and other resources for our listeners. Do you have a Bible question you would like answered on a future podcast? Or prayer request? We would be honored to hear from you and add your prayer request to our list so others may pray for you. Subscribe to our newsletter and follow us on our social media accounts. Again, that is biblicalquestion.com. Thank you, and may He have the glory.